Why would someone leave a lucrative position as a vice president in a bank with a pot of gold ahead of them financially to go serve in ministry? There's a lesson in faith for finances today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we've got some things to talk about today that will build your faith, that will challenge you, that will encourage you, that will help you to have a kingdom perspective on finances and help you to use finances for the kingdom of God. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. It's day three of our special Radiothon week, which means that we are especially going out of our way to encourage you, to build your own faith, to strengthen you, to equip you to do the work of God, and to let you know how you can stand with us and partner with us here on The Line of Fire. Thanks so much for joining us. Number to call if you would like to, to share a testimony, something that relates to the ministry work that we're doing here that's touched and helped you. The number to call is 866-348-7884. That's 866-34-TRUTH. In a little while, we'll be hearing from one of our missionaries in the Ukraine, part of our spiritual family serving overseas. And then we'll be hearing in the second hour, you can catch that online or by podcast later, we'll be hearing the second hour from one of our grads in Holland. So we're getting live calls from Ukraine and Holland today. We've already heard from folks in Tanzania, Iraq, other countries, as these folks are on the front lines, bearing fruit, making a difference. And I was talking to someone after the broadcast yesterday, And they said something to me that was very interesting. They said, listen, I want to join with what you're doing. I'm not called to do the same things you are called to do. I'm not called to step out in faith and perhaps debate a rabbi, or step out in faith and tackle a major cultural issue, or step out in faith and go on the mission field. But I am called to step out in faith. What can I do? Well, you can partner with us. You can join with us in many different ways. So together, we are making a difference. 866-348-7884. I'm joined in the studio today by esteemed friends, colleagues, part of our leadership team, Gary and Cindy Panapinto. And we've known each other, folks, how long now?
For about 27 years.
All right, you need to get way closer to that mic. It moves. There you go. 27 years?
27 years.
All right. Well, hang on. Isn't it closer to 30?
Well, I think it was in 85 or 86 that we first met.
All right. And do you remember, Cindy, how we first met?
Yes, I do. I remember just bumping into you and your wife on the street. You were neighbors of ours around the corner. And was looking for you to see if you could give me your pool ladder. You had just taken down your pool, and I was putting up a pool.
Right, a little portable setup in the backyard for
That's
the kids.
Right. Yep. That's right. And along the way, I wanted to see if you actually knew Jesus, because you had a T-shirt on that said Jesus, but I wanted to know if it was the real deal.
Right, and it was this bright red T-shirt, orange red, that Nancy had brought back from some meetings in she was in Oklahoma or something, brought this back, and wearing it, I mean, it was garish. It stood out, and it just said Jesus on it. So, yeah, we met when you decided you're going to share the gospel with me to see if I was genuinely saved.
That's right.
All right, so we've been in this on the front lines together, but Gary, I remember knowing you in your business career. How old were you when you first became a bank vice president?
I was 38 years old as a vice president. That was back in the 80s, and just enjoying my life and the prospects of a bright future.
All right, and you were even in your 20s with Citibank. You were a vice president position, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
All right, so you had this lucrative career ahead of you, amazing prospects. I mean, even Chase Manhattan saying you got a pot of gold in your future, and you left it to help serve in a church. We'll be right back. Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. You know, we don't talk a lot about finances on the show here, meaning talk a lot about the U.S. economy, talk a lot about financial principles. This is not like a Dave Ramsey show where we talk about how to budget your finances and things like that. But every one of us, we all live in this world. We all have to pay bills. We all have to buy groceries. We all have to make decisions, faith decisions that have to do with finances. Sometimes wrong handling of finances completely cripples us. Sometimes right handling of finances allows the gospel to be advanced in many, many different ways. So I want to be as practical as I can as I talk with my friends Gary and Cindy Panapinto today, part of our FIRE leadership team and friends of the family for decades now. And I want your own faith to be built and your own perspective to be helped as we talk to you today. At any point during the broadcast that you want to stand with us, here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. We really need many more of you who are blessed by this broadcast to become torchbearers, to become monthly supporters. Put aside a dollar a day to stand with us. We'll send you a new message every month. We'll give you free access to our online classes. We will give you a 15% discount in our online bookstore. But best of all, you get to partner with us in the gospel. And every life that we get to touch here in America, around the world, the Jewish people, every life we get to touch, you share in that reward here in this world and in the world to come. We've put together a special resource package. We've never done anything quite like this, but we wanted to do something special in this Radiothon week. It's retail value $70 with postage. That's my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, my book, Time for Holy Fire. These books will radically impact your life. And then my two-hour debate with my friend, Dr. James White, on Calvinism, super informative, eye-opening. We'll send that out for your gift of any size, but we've never done this before. But if you become a torchbearer this week, we want to send that to you as a gift, just as you become a monthly supporter with your gift of at least $25 or more per month. And Gary and Cindy, I want to talk about the transitions you went through, the faith steps you've taken, if you have any regrets, what you've learned stepping out by faith, leaving a lucrative career behind to go serve at that point, which was a small church. But before we get on with your story and find out what happened with that pot of gold that you were promised by Chase Manhattan, I want to talk to one of our FIRE missionaries, part of our FIRE family overseas, Leanne Peterson. Hey, Leanne, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Great. And where are you right now?
I'm in Krivoy Rog, Ukraine.
Wow. What time is it there?
It's just a little after 9 p.m.
All right, a little after 9 p.m. So we didn't make you stay up. We got Trent up in the Philippines in the middle of the night yesterday.
No, it's still fine.
All right. Well, great. Leanne, we've talked to you before on The Line of Fire, but many, many of our listeners don't know you personally. Just give us a little background. How old are you right now?
I'm 32 years old.
32 years old, and you're single?
Yes, I am.
All right. And you're serving together with another single woman there in Ukraine?
Yes, I am.
All right. And at what age did you go to the mission field?
I left right after I finished Bible school, so I was 23.
All right. So about 9 years ago, left for the mission field, single woman. Ukraine is not the easiest place to live, is it?
No, it's not. There was a lot of culture shock at first.
Yeah, I imagine. I remember you telling me that police could just stop you for any reason and hassle you if they decided to.
Yes, and they did a lot. But since that time, the laws have gotten a little better, so now they actually have to have a reason to pull you over.
But Ukraine, they've had a lot of corruption in the government that they've dealt with. It's kind of known worldwide. Does that filter its way down to the society as a whole?
Yes. Everyone second guesses you. Everyone's looking for a bribe. Even in the schools and the education system, a lot of teachers are looking for a bribe. Doctors in the hospital look for a bribe. There's corruption everywhere.
All right. So you go into this environment, and what's the main work that the Lord has given you to do over these years?
there's two main parts that we focus on. One is reaching the next generation with the gospel. We do work in the orphanages and the boarding schools. We do summer camps, and we do one right in our neighborhood where we live. And the second part is helping the local pastors and churches here. We want to encourage them and make sure that they have strong, healthy churches that are planted, because there are over 36,000 villages in Ukraine, and most of them don't have a church. So we're helping to help local pastors to plant churches.
And in the time there, it's obviously challenging. It's challenging to be in a foreign country as a single person. It's more challenging as a single woman. And then right. helping pastors in a very traditional culture as a woman, that's got to be even more challenging. Does it ever get discouraging or difficult?
Not just from being a woman. Actually, in our church, a lot of the pastors are women themselves. There's uh-huh. not as many men, it seems. So in that respect, it doesn't seem hard. But because we are into our 30s and we're not married, that's not part of their culture here. They do think that we're strange. They think, what's wrong with these women that they're already in their 30s and don't have husbands? But God is with us, and he encourages us, and we love what we do, and I wouldn't change it for anything.
What about some of the young ladies you've been able to help over the years? Tell me about that.
Well, a lot of them have come out of the orphanage system, and we work with them after they go out on their own. They live in dormitories and go to university or technical school, and it's really hard because in the orphanage they were so controlled, and then they get freedom for the first time and they just want to do everything they've never been able to. And so it's like we really have to work on our relationship of trust, because they don't want us just to come and tell us them what to do. So we really have to, you know, it takes time to build a friendship where we can speak truth into their lives and that they'll hear it.
And it's been a culture dominated by communism and then very traditional religion.
Yes.
What kind of effect has that had on the society? Is there a lot of drunkenness, depression, drug abuse, immorality?
Yes.
What do you see?
Well, everything you just named, but the drunkenness here, that was so shocking to me, because there's always drunk people everywhere, outside, on the street, on the benches. There's always men that are drunk. People walk around with open containers everywhere. And, you know, in America, some places, Christians think, you know, it's normal to drink. But here, it's like there is no social drinking. People just drink to get drunk. So it's like Christians in Ukraine do not drink.
Got it.
Because it's part of the mindset.
I understand that. So Leanne, obviously, making the move over from America to Ukraine, a lot of differences in lifestyle, a lot of the conveniences of America you wouldn't have, the hassles of the culture that you mentioned, especially in the earlier years, the challenges of moving forward in ministry. And yet, you're doing this with joy, aren't you?
Yeah, most of the time.
I appreciate you
there
being honest.
There are days where you think, what am I doing? But then, you know, you just pray and you seek the Lord and you know why you're here, because God has put you here and he has a reason. And I'm just so excited and honored that I get to serve these wonderful people that he loves and see so many lives changed by his truth and by his gospel, to see hopeless people find hope.
Yeah, and we could spend years and years, decades in our churches and being busy about church work and religious activity and never see the fruit in a lifetime that you get to see in a year over there. And Leanne,
right.
how did your time being trained in our ministry school equip you? How did it help you get out on the field?
For me, it was so important. It was life-changing because I grew up in the church my whole life, but I really felt like I encountered the Holy Spirit when I came to school there. And then I was taught by leaders from, you know, these wonderful, solid Christian believers, and they lived what they believed, and I had never seen that before. And that just put a hunger in me and a desire to live like that. And it, you know, it set me on the right path where I could go out and minister and give away all that I received at my time at school.
Well, we are thrilled to have you as part of our FIRE family, standing with you on the front lines there with your team together. We admire your courage and faith. You've been an example to many. And perhaps there are some other young ladies listening to you that think, well, I can be used. I can be used on the mission field. And speak to them for a minute.
Yes. If God, to all you single women out there, if God has called you, don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about who your husband's going to be. Just follow after Jesus, because if he's leading and guiding you, he's going to bring you to the right place, and he'll bring you even to your husband at the right time. You don't have to worry about it. You can just rest in his hands. And when you're single, you have so much more time to do everything that God wants you to do, because you don't have to be concerned about a family and a husband, but you're just free to be with him and do everything that he has for you. So it's awesome. So don't wait, but just go. Get trained
Go. That's it. Get trained. Come to Fire. Get trained.
Yes.
And go. Hey, Leanne, we're standing with you. Thanks so much for connecting with us from Ukraine. And give our love to your entire team there.
Thank you.
All right, friends, we come back. We're going to find out about the pot of gold that was left behind and why it makes sense to invest in eternal purposes.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Dear Dr. Brown, I've watched your Q&A on the issue of homosexuality through Pure Passion Ministry. It was one of the videos that has helped me greatly through my healing process after cutting myself off from what hopefully will be my last destructive relationship. I would just like to express my personal thanks to you here. Thank you for being such an inspiring Christian, and thank you for helping me in my healing process, and for being one of those people who has lovingly pointed me to the Savior. I've been reading and studying the Word of God more than I ever thought I would. Thank you also for teaching me that it is possible to speak the truth in love. I've struggled a lot with lying in past destructive relationships because I only knew how to love people by telling them what they wanted to hear. Now I know that love without truth isn't love at all. Keep going in the Lord's service.
Yeah, that was a testimony from a young lady in Singapore who watched one of my YouTube interviews dealing with homosexual issues, and that was one of the things that helped her come out of homosexuality.
Awesome.
866-34-TRUTH. I'm joined in studio today by my dear friends Gary and Cindy Panapinto, part of our FIRE leadership team. So, Gary, you got into a very exalted banking position still in your 20s, kind of unprecedented to be serving in a vice presidential capacity. And then you worked your way up to a major position with Chase Manhattan as vice president. What are some of the things they had you doing at that time?
I was in global trust, and our role was to put an accounting system in about 48 different countries to try and value portfolios real time. Back in those days, that was not heard of, but we were on that course and involved in technology at a high level. It was really artificial intelligence is what we were getting involved with at the time. So it was a very exciting career, a very exciting time. And I had an office in London, in England, and in New York City, and traveled back and forth. And I just had a burning desire to serve God in a bigger way. And my focus was always to increase the bottom line of whatever part of the business I was responsible for. And we were making great headway. God had given me some great ideas about things to do, and he gets all the credit for the lofty things that I come up with that were allowed me to succeed so much in my secular career.
And when you first, wasn't one of your first days with Chase Manhattan, you looked at some of their systems or things that were being done wrong and showed them how to save a boatload of money?
Yeah, well, I was actually told that I wouldn't have to travel in this new position at Chase. And after 3 weeks of being on the job, I was asked to go to London just one time to take a look at some things. And I was new to the business. I came from a credit card background in Citibank. So the global trust arena was all new to me. So I was kind of like the new guy on the block. But I did travel over to England, and I discovered that they had a major issue that could cost them hundreds of millions of dollars. As a result, long story short, we ended up resolving the problem and generating profit from that. I you know, give the credit to God, because I actually had a dream one night and God gave me the solution to the problem. Now, I didn't know the business, so when I went back to my boss and told him what I found and how they could fix this thing, they were just in awe. And
kind
I just
like Daniel.
I took no credit for it. I said, listen, guys, this was a download from heaven, and you have to believe that. And I just shared my faith even on the job at the time.
All right, so now you're you're being raised up more and more because God is with you, just like Joseph, Daniel. I mean, those things were even prophesied over you, you being like a Joseph or a Daniel in the kingdom and finances and stuff. And then they've got these great plans for you. And I remember when you told me that they've promised you a pot of gold.
Yeah, well, I actually told my wife at one point, God's going to have to change my heart. Either has to change me or change my job, because I just felt like I had to do something that would have eternal value and stop just doing what I was doing, which was profiting men and the whole banking industry and the things that we were doing. So it was an exciting moment for me, but I just was not satisfied because I didn't feel like I was fulfilling my role for Kingdom Affairs.
And you ended up resigning to help administrate a church that was pastored by Cindy's uncle. How many people were in the church at that point?
I think there were probably about 300-400 in the church at that time.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
All right, and were they going to pay you a pot of gold to do that?
Not quite. We kind of looked at each other and thought, okay, we've been faithful in our giving, and we know the word is clear that it's a place where you're allowed to test God if you're faithful in your giving, and he'll take care of you. I knew that I had to do this. There was no choice in the matter. As a matter of fact, the funny part of that story is when I did finally resign, which was not the first time I resigned, each other time they gave me big raises to stick around, and I had release from God to do that. But this particular time, I was unofficially offered a position overseas, which would have allowed me to bank my entire income for 5 years. My kids would have gone to private school. My wife would have had a driver. It would have been a really incredible opportunity. But we kind of laughed because we knew that there was no way God was in that for us.
And I remember they asked you to come back in just like one day a week, or if you could come in for special times. How much were they going to pay you per day to come in and help train people?
I don't remember all those details. You guys are better at the details than I am, but it was a couple of $1,000 a week back in the day. But I prayerfully considered it because it was a real tempting proposition, and God just told me it would have been a total distraction from what he wanted me to start to do.
Yeah, I remember you giving me a number of $2,500 per time going in for a day.
Right.
And you told them, I'm going to be busy doing church work.
That's right.
All right, Cindy, we've just got 2 minutes. And,
okay.
And I want Gary to talk to our listeners for a moment. But Cindy, first, how did you feel? Now Gary's going to take, I know you took this step together.
Yes.
But you have something lucrative set before you that could, you'd be set for life, and you'd serve God and do other things later. Now you're going to step out in faith and help in a church that can't pay you a lot of money. How did you feel about this?
Well, I always trusted God. God's always been faithful, and I trusted my husband. I knew he had a call on his life from when he was young. So I just thought it was going to be a great adventure, a nice journey, and really seeing God's destiny fulfilled in our lives.
Has it been a great adventure?
It has certainly been a great adventure, truly.
And Gary, it's amazing that you're helping us set up schools now around the world. Instead of helping Chase Manhattan with new banking ventures, you're helping us set up fire training bases.
Yes, I have never been more ignited in my passion for doing something and feel more validated in what I do. Going around the world and implementing schools, which bears incredible fruit. Every graduate, to me, is just...
Just like Leanne we talked to in Ukraine.
Right.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
that's
really awesome. I've never felt this way before. The past couple of years now, as we've taken a new journey in our walk with God, it's just been so gratifying and fulfilling.
All right, 30 seconds. Talk to our listeners about why they should get behind the work that we're doing here.
Well, as a business guy, I would say that when I look to give to a ministry, I look for integrity. And I remember the first book that Michael Brown wrote was underwritten by a group that I served on a board with. And the goal was that he would be able to take the funds and put it towards the next book. And quite frankly, no one really knew that how many books later, Dr. Michael Brown does not get rich on his books. All of the money has always been, and I can say this firsthand, sown into his ministry to just continue to expand to do the things that God has called him to do. And he's not profiting from those things at all. That gives me reason to be a torchbearer, and I personally am, and my wife.
Awesome. All right, we'll be back with a lot more. Here's the number to call. Stand with us today, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Join us. Become a torchbearer.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire today. Today's broadcast, like every broadcast this week, is unique because I'm joined by different members of our fire leadership team, part of our church, school, missions, ministry leadership team, serving together with a burning heart to see Jesus exalted in America, in the nations, among the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And today, it's really our goal to build your faith for the kingdom, to build your faith to be stewards of the monies that God has given you, to be a blessing to your own family and your own household, to your own church, and to partner with ministries like ours to advance the kingdom around the world. You'll be edified, you'll be helped, you'll be encouraged. And the number to call to stand with us to become a monthly torchbearer to help with a one-time gift, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. 780. You can go online to askdrbrown.org and click there to donate. And Gary, Cindy, we've known each other all these years. I've watched you live when you're in the business world, when you're in the ministry world. I've watched you live when a company you work with went out of business. You had helped them as much as you could. They went out of business. And I watched you live by faith during that season. So I've seen you as a vice president of Chase Manhattan and as administrator of a church and now part of our fire leadership team with Cindy serving in different ministry capacities all this time. You guys have always seemed to be the same. Your lifestyle has seemed to be the same. Your attitudes seem to be the same. Whether you had a big check coming in or a small check or no check, how does that happen?
Well, I think that from very young, we learned and understood the biblical concept in the laws of reciprocity. That's simply meaning sowing and reaping. What you sow is what you reap. And we understood that, you know, everything that we accumulate here on this earth doesn't come with us. When we pass on into heaven and life is done here, nothing comes with us. So,
and like the old saying that you've never seen a U-Haul being pulled by a hearse.
Right.
You've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So we learned those lessons early, and we've always been faithful in our giving and always encouraged people to do the same, knowing that God is very faithful. It's the only place in the Word where we're allowed to test God. So we really have held on to that our entire journey with God. And when it was a time when it was lean, we just pressed into God and said, okay, God, we've been faithful. So, you know, we are yours. So, you know, you've got to come through here. And he has always come through. And we've always, you're right, lived the same way. That's not to say that we have not been responsible and tried to live within our means. But at the same time, like you said, whether it was rich or lean, we've been able to just sustain the same level of living our entire lifetime.
And you've always given in the midst of it. Now, when you were first transitioning to serve at the church in New Jersey, you were still working in Manhattan as a vice president at Chase Manhattan, and then you ultimately left that to work full-time at the church. What was your commute like at that time?
I would leave at 4:30 in the morning. I had a two-hour commute into New York City, Midtown Manhattan. It was a time where I just read the word. I was actually going to Bible school at the time, so I would study on the way in, study on the way home. But then when I did get home, I would go to church, and we had board meetings that were extended lengths of time where we were planning the future of the ministry, and we're consumed with another job, for lack of another way to express it, after I got home from my secular job.
And your commute round trip was how many hours a day?
Minimally, it was 4 hours.
4 hours round trip. So in other words, you worked hard. You honored the Lord. You and Cindy poured yourself in. You raised your family and poured yourself in. And you have, so this has been tested out.
Oh, yeah.
We're not just talking abstract principles here. We come back. Cindy, I'm sure your faith has been tested along the way. Let's share some edifying stories, some encouraging stories about when you stepped out, when you've given, when you've obeyed the Lord, what you've seen him do over these years. We'll be right back.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the broadcast. Can I just ask you an honest question before I go back to talking to my guests and fellow leaders here at Fire, Gary and Cindy? Can I just ask you an honest question? If this broadcast was not on the air, would it make a difference? Would there be something missing? Would there be a voice missing? If I wasn't writing the articles and speaking out, putting out the books that we're putting out, if we weren't training and raising up the laborers that we are and sending them around the world, if I wasn't helping in Jewish ministry, would it make a difference? Would there be a loss? Gary and Cindy, you've known our work for years, and there were times of real severe financial testing, especially with our school, where staff said, hey, we're called to serve here. They got weekend jobs or night jobs so as to get some income when we were just stretched and say, okay, God, we know you've called us to do this, and where are the funds? And we were tested and stretched, and then God would always come through one way or another. And I remember one time a few years back going to the Lord and saying, okay, we don't have to have a school. We don't have to be doing this. We've done it for years. I feel called to do it, but we don't just want to do something to do it. And when I prayed about it, I felt the Lord say to me, Fire, I have need of you. And the picture I got suddenly was all of the places where our Fire grads were serving all around the world and all over America. And I saw these lights, fires everywhere. And suddenly they just went out one after another. And I thought, whoa.
Yeah.
That would be a terrific loss. I understand. Maybe, friends, you feel the same about our radio broadcast. If you believe in what we're doing, we're listener-supported, and we really do need to step up in our own responsibility in radio expansion and just maintaining our current radio station. So we need your help to do that. It's a joint effort. It's a team effort. And if everyone does their part, those who have a lot can give a lot. Those who have a little can give a little. If you do your part, do it in faith, God will bless you for it. Again, we've put together a unique resource package this week, a retail value of $70, yours for your gift of any size. My book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, my book, Time for Holy Fire, and my two-hour video debate DVD with Dr. James White, my friend James White on Calvinism. Great resources. If you become a torchbearer this week, a monthly supporter at least $25 or more per month, we want to send you that resource package as our special gift to you. We've never done anything like that. So do whatever the Lord lays on your heart, but together we can see expansion. Together we can get into more and more cities around America. And right now we can meet our current obligations as you stand with us and help us. 1-800-278-9978, the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Cindy, often the husband can be strong in faith, and he's kind of just out there and believing God and maybe a little in the abstract, and the wife's thinking, okay, hang on, groceries cost this much, kids' school costs this much, it costs this much to fill the tank. Maybe you're not aware, mortgage just went up, or rent just went up, and maybe you've got, some of the guys are super responsible like that, but sometimes they may have their head in the clouds a little bit, and sometimes it's the wives that can just be more down-to-earth, realistic. And has this ever been a challenge for you, Cindy, as Gary's made these moves, and then you've given many, I've watched you over the years, you don't announce it, but we've partnered together, you've stepped out, you've always been on the front lines of giving. What's your attitude in that?
Well, as Gary said, very early on in our walk with God, he really gave us the revelation of his kingdom economy and just being able to give. You know, give and it shall be given unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. And that became...
Why do you call it kingdom economy? Why do you use that term?
Well, because I believe when you truly give to expanding the kingdom of God, he shows up and is your provider. I mean, we have scripture to back that up. You know, God is my provider in many, many ways, not just financially. But when I feel it's such freedom to be in God's kingdom, to truly tithe and truly give to see the kingdom expanded. I have just always had a blind faith, and I don't even say, you know, it's not really blind, it's just a true faith in God, that he has met our needs. And whether we were, strong in bringing in different salaries, or whether we were, on furlough for a little while with the job, which Gary didn't even mentioned that there was a time he was even out of work, God was faithful and always showed himself strong in providing our needs. And I remember one time, even when we were, again, just trying to build finances, we became part of a building fund program in a church, and we just gave more. And truly, you can never outgive God. I've always found him faithful.
So that's just hype, Gary, when people talk about, you know, you can't outgive God and God's a debtor to no man. That's not just hype.
No, we are living testament to the fact that you cannot outgive God. And if you can truly just get in total faith, believing the word is true,
yes,
God means what he says in his word, he's faithful to it, God will surprise you time and time again in your finances.
And again, having that freedom, I don't even pay attention to what groceries cost, or, you know, the different things we need when, for household purposes. Not that I'm an overspender or I'm not a good steward, but I know God meets my needs. So my thoughts are on kingdom purposes, and he has always just been there and provided for us.
Now, in our whole organization, I'm the founder, by God's grace, of the ministry here, which is a church of, I don't know, 400 or 500 people, if everyone was there,
yes,
and new works planted out of it. And then our missionaries, about 180 or so fire missionaries are around the world. And then our ministry training school. And then this ministry, Ask Dr. Brown, so Line of Fire and traveling, writing. How much say do I have, how much control do I have of the overall ministry's finances?
None. How's that for a quick answer?
All right. Well, what about like a finance team, finance board? Do I serve on that?
No, you
no.
do not.
Okay. Well, how much input do I have into those meetings where I tell everyone what I want them to do?
None at all.
Yeah. And see, friends, I just want you to understand something. I'm not a businessman. Number one, I don't get bogged down with that. Number two, I'm not gifted in that. I believe God. I'm a giver. But I don't have this background. So this is entirely up to us. What about hiring, firing, those kind of decisions and salaries and all that?
We bear the responsibility for that with a team.
All right. And I'm not part of that team.
Correct.
Not part of that team.
All right. And then what about the overall finances? People know what we do in ministry. If they came in, you've been in a lot of ministries, you've consulted. How many churches would you say?
Probably 100.
Okay. All right, so consulted churches, ministries, you've helped them with budgets, you help with finances, you'll go in and say, okay, this is appropriate income for this or this or this. Just for folks listening, I mean, I know they believe in what we're doing.
Yes.
If we revealed all of our finances, if we just said, okay, everything, everybody looks at it, you're going to find out what Mike Brown makes, you're going to find out what Cindy Panopino makes, administrating for us, she's laughing hearing this. What would people think?
That you're overworked and underpaid, for sure.
The team. No, this is joyful. I mean, there's zero complaint, and whatever money comes in is going straight into our radio outreach, straight into Jewish ministry, straight into supporting our missionaries, because we give the first fruits of everything that comes in
to our
missionaries around the world, and we always want to increase that. So, Gary, I'm not a businessman. I don't hang out with a lot of business people in terms of really understand how that world works. But there are plenty of businessmen, businesswomen listening to us right now. Talk to them as a businessman now in ministry, but operating Kingdom Finances all the time, about standing with us and how they can partner with us and why they should.
Well, I would say that the entire FIRE family of ministries, including AskDrBrown.org, we live to minister. We don't minister to live. And if you're looking for a place to put funding that is integral, the integrity in this amongst this team is just a notch above what we've experienced in other ministries. They, not that other ministries are not, don't have integrity, but you can know that every dollar that you put into the hands of this ministry is going to be used for eternal purposes. There's going to be some benefit to you beyond this lifetime. I can't stress enough. And if you're a businessman and you have lots of money, well, then shame on you if you're not giving. But if you have a business that's not doing that well, I would strongly recommend that you learn to give. And this would be good soil for you to do that in, because God will bless you as you bless Dr. Brown's ministry.
Want anything, Cindy?
Well, and I also think that people need to be challenged. It's not just personal giving, but it is giving from their businesses that will, you know, see the fruit that comes from that as well. So many people that do have businesses, I would strongly encourage you to tithe from your business and pour into ministries like this one.
And friends, we are jealous for the work of the gospel. And Gary and Cindy know that my heart burns day and night. You know, they'll get, I remember one time, Gary, I sent you, I got an email from you at 4 a.m. and I said, what are you doing up? You said, what are you doing up? You were getting up. I was going to sleep. So we had it covered 24/7, but burning to see the work of God advance around the world. We know what God's called us to do. We're just asking you to partner with us. 1-800-278-9978.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Dear Dr. Brown, I've been listening to your podcast and your YouTube debates for over a month now, and you have been such a blessing for me in my faith walk, particularly with the same-sex marriage debate. I am from New Zealand, and this has been an issue which has polarized the whole nation. My country was considered a Christian nation 50 years ago. Our national anthem is called God Defend New Zealand, but our nation has endured a slippery slide since then. Please pray for us and for those who have worked tirelessly for marriage to remain what it has always been. Thank you, Dr. Brown, for your attention and again for your calling to encourage other believers to make a stand, not against other neighbors, but to reach out to them with love. God's blessings.
Yeah, you know, around the world, we get calls to help in these issues, to help in England, to help in Canada, to help in Australia, to help in New Zealand, all across America, other countries, because these issues are coming up constantly. And by God's grace, we've been able to set a tone, reach out, and resist. And by God's grace, it's making a difference in many, many lives. To stand with us, friends, 1-800-278-9978. We really do need to hear from many of you to enable us to continue doing what we're doing on the radio and beyond. And I'm joined again in studio by my dear friends and fellow leaders here at FIRE, Gary and Cindy Panapinto. Cindy, directing the ministry here, a ton of stuff comes through you. So you're seeing testimonies and hearing things that aren't even getting to me just because of the volume of what comes in. Talk to me about some of what you see. This is to the glory of God, but I want folks that support us and stand with us to know what they're part of, to know what they're helping us do, to know that lives actually are being changed.
Absolutely. And we do read every letter that comes in, whether it's a handwritten letter, whether it's sent by email, whether it's a response to some of the letters or e-blasts that you send out. We do read every communication that comes in. And I'm always amazed at the people that you can just tell really heartfelt thanks and gratitude to the ministry to which God, you know, flows through you in just all of the things, your books, your emails, your radio program. And we get hundreds, literally hundreds every month of people who have been touched. And the other thing that really strikes me is it's very intergenerational. You know, young people, older people, grandmas, people going to school that are writing in saying how much their lives have been changed.
You know, when you said grandmas, it reminded me of something very sweet. It happened, I would say a few years ago now. A woman called in. We were talking to her. She was talking about her grandma and the call in her grandma's life. She'd gone blind and so on. And anyway, she just loves, she stays home and she can't do much now, but she just loves to listen to cassette tape messages. And that's what she listens to is cassette tape messages. And I said, listen, we still have a number, because I know we had mentioned them to give away or clearance or something, because, you know, very few people use cassette tapes anymore. So we said, listen, why don't we send her a bunch of our series on cassette tape just as a gift to your grandmother, only to find out that I think within 24 hours, either that very day or the day before, the grandmother had been crying out, Lord, I need more cassette tapes. So here it's just the easiest thing for us to do, but it was so neat because it was a direct answer to prayer for her. And Gary, you've gotten to go out now overseas and help plan some of our schools like Cameroon and Holland and others. The next hour we'll be hearing from Frank Pott in Holland, but what do you see as first what our grads are doing overseas and then the prospects?
Well, as these guys go out and share the gospel with Jesus Christ to these regions, they find the hunger is unbelievable. People who want to be discipled, who have a need to know more about the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and want to be discipled so they can become disciplers. I am excited because we have so many invitations to so many countries. We cannot possibly keep up with it in the short term. I just got a letter from a pastor in Liberia who is in such dire need to have some of us stand beside him and assist him in discipling the new believers in Liberia. And unfortunately, we have to put those on the sidelines for now because we don't have the resources to do the work well there. So again, you know, with more torchbearers, we can do more ministry. With more ministry, we can see Jesus exalted. With Jesus exalted, we can really see the fulfillment of the goal here, and that's to send out these missionaries to do the work that they've been called to do.
And Cindy, you know the scope of the vision. Do you think it's too big? Do you think it's unrealistic? Do you think we're taking on more than we can?
Absolutely not. I think God's going to continue to increase the vision and the goals that God that He wants you to continue to accomplish. And no, I don't think our vision and our goals are too big. I think God is supplying the need and giving that to us to see much expanded for His kingdom purposes.
And listen, friends, I am not on radio to be known. I'm not on radio, obviously, to entertain anyone. I'm not on radio for lack of other things to do. I have been called by God to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution and to help equip you to stand and make a difference. And this is a sacred calling to me. This is something that I've agonized in prayer over for years and years when I knew God was speaking to me to do this. And then when the doors swung open to do it, to see the funds come in, we've prayed and we've fasted. And that continues to be the great need as we seek God's kingdom first and His righteousness, and we don't lean on the arm of the flesh. We say no to suggestions that are fleshly and not of the Spirit. We know that God will back what He's called us to do. We also know that it's a team effort, that it takes the whole body, that I can't fulfill my calling without you, and you can't fulfill your calling without me, because we're part of a body and part of a family. Just as we prayed for years and years for Gary and Cindy here to be part of our team, because I knew that we could not get where we needed to be without them, and God brought them here to be with us. We're asking you to stand with us. I'm personally asking you, if you're blessed by the broadcast, blessed by the ministry, blessed by our outreach to the Jewish people, blessed by our heart for moral and cultural revolution, blessed by our love for the Word, stand with me. Stand with us. Hold my hands up now. And call with your one-time gift. 100% of this is going to outreach, to help our missionaries, to help with this radio broadcast, to help us expand into everything He's called us to do. The number to call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. If you become a monthly supporter today or for your one-time gift, I'm sending you a special resource offer worth $70, my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, my book, Time for Holy Fire, and our 2-DVD debate with Dr. James White on Calvinism, my friend, Dr. White. Get these materials. The resources will bless you, but be as generous as you can as you help us stand and do what is right in this generation and raise our voice like a trumpet without backing down one square inch. My bottom line today, Joshua was told to go and take the land, but he did it with an army. He did it with the people of Israel. Together, friends, we can shake this nation and the nations of the world. Why would someone leave a lucrative position as a vice president in a bank with a pot of gold ahead of them financially to go serve in ministry? There's a lesson in faith for finances today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, are you ready to have your faith built? Are you ready to have your faith stretched? Are you ready to find out how earthly money can turn into eternal treasure? Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. This is day three of our special radiothon, which means we're doing things differently. We've got fire team members in with us every week. We're hearing from missionaries in different parts of the world. In a little while, we'll hear from one of our frontline missionaries serving in Holland. I'm joined by esteemed friends, colleagues for many years, Gary and Cindy Panapento, have quite a story of their own to tell, and got a lot to share with you, to encourage you. 866-348-7884, as always, the number to call to join in the discussion here. And in a little while, friends, I'll tell you specifically how you can stand with us and where your funds will go and what they'll be used for. But Gary and Cindy, we've known each other now somewhere around 30 years. We met living near each other on Long Island, then used to come to classes I would teach at Christ for the Nations Institute. And so we've walked this out for many years. And I've watched your lives through many years, through thick and thin, and faithfulness to the Lord. You know I'm not much into talking about money. And no one's ever going to accuse me of being a carnal prosperity teacher. Gary, why do you think the church sometimes afraid to talk about money, or we go to one extreme or the other?
Well, I think it pushes buttons in people. They don't like for anyone. They feel like their pocket's being picked when, in fact, all you're trying to do is exhort them to follow the living word, which is clear that we're supposed to be givers, not just of life, but givers of our funds to support the gospel. Jesus never begged for money. His disciples never begged for money. Wherever they went, they were cared for. Well, you know, God does the same for us. I think the goal here is for eternal purposes. And most of us, be honest, fall short in that area because we have personal things that we would prefer to spend our money on. But when you get out of the mindset of it's not all about me and it's about eternity, you know, the word is clear. Life is a breath. It's a vapor. It's very short. So when we capture the revelation of what that means, then we finally understand we have to set ourselves apart from all of the things of the world and really throw ourselves in for eternal glory. You know, there's going to be a jewel in our crown, and someday we'll get to take that crown and throw it at the feet of Jesus. That's what's most important to me and to most believers.
Yeah, absolutely. And just looking at a quote from Leonard Ravenhill, man of God that I got to be very close with the last 5 years of his life, and he said, today Christians spend more money on dog food than missions. Now, I'd said the same thing. I thought it was original with me. He probably said it first, and probably someone else said it, but it is true. It is amazing how readily we can spend finances on different things, and yet when it comes to giving for eternal purposes. Look, Gary, we're not telling anybody, give to this ministry, and you will have a new Bentley or Rolls Royce in your
Correct.
Driveway if you do. We're saying give to this ministry and you'll have treasure in heaven and the joy of seeing lives touched here. And as you honor the Lord, there'll be no shortfall.
Agreed. You know, people need to understand we're not all called to be on the radio and to be the broadcaster, but we are all called to support those things that edify Jesus. So I really encourage you, call in, become a torchbearer, and watch the multiplication of your seed.
All right, friends, you're going to hear about some of the multiplication. Those of you who are supporting us, standing with us, we're going to go to Holland when we come back, and you'll be thrilled with what you hear.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire as we go around the world and check in on our fire missionaries in different parts of the world. Friends, there are many fine ministries doing many fine things. There are many fine churches, many fine outreach ministries, many fine missions organizations, TV, radio broadcasts. By God's grace, we have something very unique that we're able to do. Part of what God's blessed us with is not only to be on the air, and not only to have a local ministry, church, and school, but we, by God's grace, are able to raise up and send out laborers around the world that remain part of our family. This is all an extended part of our work. So we've been in the Philippines this week. We've been in Tanzania. We've been on the streets of Atlanta. We've been in Ukraine. We've been in other countries. And right now, we are going to Holland with one of our fire grads, Frank Pott. Hey, Frank, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hey, is it 9 o'clock there now? A little bit past 9?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Hey, Frank, how many kids do you and Bobby have now?
Five.
Five kids. You and your wife, Bobby, have five kids. Is that uncommon in Holland?
Oh, absolutely. We are quite a spectacle over here.
Really? So having big families is unusual, even in the church world?
Well, there are particular parts, but that is most the Dutch Reformed churches. But mm-hmm. It's not that common anymore.
Amazing. And you have been on the front lines of the pro-life movement in Holland. Has that gotten you any national attention, or have you been branded like a cult leader or something because you're involved fighting against abortion?
Yes, we have drawn attention from national television, national newspaper, and national magazines because of our stand for life.
And what have they written about you?
Well, they called me a fundamentalist.
That's a real insult there. For those that don't know, that's a real insult in Holland. What else did they call you?
Right-wing. They actually were looking for a right-wing conservative fundamentalist abortion clinic doctor killing person. When they didn't find me, when they didn't find that person, they came to me.
Got it. So they found someone that a little harder to criticize because of your stance for life. You've also had some national attention because you came out of a heavy gambling background before the Lord saved you. What happened with that?
Yeah, well, we were all, again on national television because of my testimony, and there was a person who is part of the Dutch government who was looking for somebody who was experienced with this topic of gambling, and he invited me to participate in a new law about gambling and then help out with my point of view as the person who went through this.
So where did you get to testify and share your own perspective?
Oh, this was right in the government building. And there was a minister from the government that I had the possibility to testify about my faith in Jesus and explain him that Jesus is the only one that would be able to get to the root of the problem instead of solving all the symptoms that hangs around it.
Mm. And right now in Holland, Frank, I don't know if all of my listeners are familiar with what's happening there, but it's a very liberal country, even more than America. So redefining marriage, same-sex so-called marriage, Holland was the first European country to do that. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, they on April Fool's Day, I guess it was in 2001, we had our first gay marriage ever.
2001. All right. So, and what about things like prostitution? Is that legal in your country?
Yes, that's legal, and we even have a union for prostitutes.
All right. What about marijuana smoking? Is that legal?
Again, that's right.
In fact, I remember one trip when I was over there ministering, and we were looking for a place to stop and eat, and I saw something that said coffee shop. You know, they had English words, coffee shop, and I said, why don't we go in there? I figured you can get a sandwich or something. And you started to laugh, said, no, they sell marijuana there.
Yeah, that's right.
What about euthanasia?
Yeah, we call it mercy killing, mm-hmm. but that's legal too, yes.
And how widespread is that?
Well, actually, I think it was a week or two ago that I read that there's a waiting list for over 1,000 people right now for this special clinic for people who just want to end their lives.
All right, so for assisted suicide, and then you have all the euthanasia of the elderly and handicapped babies and things. And then what's the mentality of the church? Is most of the born-again church in the country saying, let's get on the front lines, let's take a stand, let's make a difference, let's confront these things with the gospel? What's the mentality of much of the church?
Well, it's very hard. As you know, I've been part of this solemn assembly that we had in October 6th of last year. And we gathered all the main denominations, from Pentecostals, Charismatic, to conservative evangelicals and Reformed Protestant churches. And mainly their thoughts is that it's not that bad.
So they see all this happening, kind of a passivity then.
Right.
Amazing.
Right.
So Frank, you with the heart that you have trained at our School of Ministry, you've been burning with this ever since. You've served in churches wherever you can and been faithful, but you know that something more has to happen. So what is it, 10 years now you've had summer classes, a fire summer school for 10 straight years. What kind of impact have those classes had on the folks in Holland?
Well, we have been faithful in just spreading the fire that we received, and of course it has not been easy. There have been people that did not understand anything about revival. Sometimes I said it was like people throwing buckets of water over us, but I was very thankful for the connection that we always kept, and we had the school for the past 10 years in the summer, bringing over faculty from fire school. And we had young people that got involved in that. And one of the real cool things that came out of it is that right now we are a church. So there is great impact in that.
All right, so the school, people were touched. The church has been birthed out of it. I've heard from people over the years that have been on fire for God because they got touched in the school, and it gave them a vision of things they didn't know they could do for God before and impact they could have for the kingdom. And now we're in the process of starting a full-time fire school in Holland that you will be helping to lead. Frank, what's your you can be honest, you can have a big vision. What's your vision for what God's going to do through this school?
Well, we always have been very frank about this, and that is we want to see a move of God, revival in Europe. As you know, Europe has been the leading continent to bring out the gospel in modern times. And nowadays, church is running empty. There's a lot of worldliness coming into the church. And we really hope and pray for a young generation that we see that is waiting for a cause to fight for, that we can get them in our schools and train them to become world changers in their time, in their generation.
And when is the launch date for the school?
It's going to be January 2014.
January 2014. We are focused with you and very excited about what's about to happen, Frank. and thrilled to have you on the front lines as part of our Fire family. And listeners, I want you to know that as you've stood with us, as you've been torchbearers and helped with your gifts, that you've helped us to help Frank to go over to Holland to send our folks over to stand together and make a difference. Give our love to the family, all the kids, and the whole team there, and keep burning bright, Frank. We're with you.
I will. Thank you so much, Dr. Brown. It was an honor to be on your show.
Oh, my joy to have you, man. Listen, friends, I am so overflowing with vision of what we want to do. We have these amazing open doors now with Jewish ministry. We'll talk more about that tomorrow, but doors that have never opened before that are open for us. We are looking to have debates on the key moral cultural issues on college campuses all over America. We are looking to raise up more and more world changers to go into the nations, but we really need your help to do it. Would you stand with us and call right now with your one-time gift to become a monthly supporter? 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hi, Dr. B. I'm happy to say that since I got some health coverage, I now have a little money, and I can donate to you in a monthly manner as a torchbearer. It has made me so happy to be able to support you, since I believe that you are the best teacher, apologist, and Christian witness we have. I wish I could give you more, but I will also have to give to my local church, so I divided my gift in half. May God bless you and protect America. Shalom.
Michael L. Brown preached like a house of fire this weekend at our church. He was like the prophet Elijah, calling for people to repent, to pick up the cross and follow Jesus, whether by life or by death. And he shared how some of his students have been martyred in India for the cause of Christ. He talked about the cost of commitment, which is rarely heard in America today. He talked about the cost of commitment, which is rarely heard in America today. The presence of God was in our midst, and it was a life-changing event.
Well, praise God for the encouragement. Some of it makes you blush a little bit, but we're thrilled to see the fruit that comes through the ministry and so blessed to have people with open hearts and open minds standing with us and receiving the word and living it out in your own lives. Number to call to stand with us, 1-800-278-9978. Do I have my faithful colleague and friend, Stu Epperson, nearby?
I'm here, Doc. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, man. So you are in your studio. I'm in mine. Sounds like we're sitting next to each other.
This is really cool. It's great to hear your voice. Was listening to you on the way over. Actually, I was promoting your show to some Christian businessmen at about quarter till the hour, and I realized, wait a second, I'm supposed to be on the show today. So I plugged them, and then I rushed over here as quick as I could.
That's forgivable. And in fact, I had one of my colleagues speaking to Christian businessmen about that same hour. Listen, I've got an entry here I'm looking at that has the date October 17th of 2007 written down. And do you know off the top of your head what happened that day?
Well, that may have been the day that we took a ride on the wild side, and we ventured out and had Dr. Michael Brown on Truth Talk Live as a guest. Could that by any chance be? Or was
you
that
you nailed it? Okay. You nailed it. Oh, wow. I had done 19 interviews with different media outlets over a 6-week period. And that day, before going on the air with this fellow, Stu Epperson, on a radio show called Truth Talk Live, which is one of the best interviews I ever did in my life. I loved the host. He did a great job. But I journaled that you were going to ask me to come on the air and have a radio show. I was convinced that God wanted me to do it. And Stu, do you remember what happened during the first commercial break? You started talking to me. Do you remember what you said?
Well, I just I was so blessed and refreshed by someone that I didn't have to find every angle I could to figure out how to get you to really speak your heart in what you were doing there, and the way you spoke so prophetically and intelligently on these issues, And so I just that's what I said. I asked you about the possibility of you actually being on the radio and doing a show, I believe. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I mean, you felt, and I remember you telling me afterwards that you felt that God was speaking to you, that you were supposed to help get me on the air. And I remember you said, look, Doc, do a show Saturdays, 1 hour a week, and then do these power minutes, these 1 minute. And I said, Stu, I mean, I love to. I feel I'm supposed to be on radio, but I don't have that extra hour a week on Saturdays. But we started March 1st of 2008 was my first Saturday show. And then I remember you called shortly after that and said, Doc, could you go to 5 days a week? And it was actually going to be five nights, seven in the evening, because of the new great station you were starting in Salt Lake City, Utah. And I remember thinking, this is my whole life is going to go in complete upheaval. But Nancy and I talked, we knew it was the Lord. So June 30th of 2008, so it's basically 5 years now, wow, we've had the privilege and joy of serving with you on the Truth Radio Network and then expanding to Salem Network and other networks across the country, American Family Radio and He's Alive and others. And so, Stu, I'm indebted to you personally for opening the door. And then I know on your part, sacrificing as a ministry to help get me on the air. So I'm indebted to you, man. And I deeply appreciate what you've done to help me get on the air.
Mm. Well, praise the Lord. Our passion here at the Truth Network is to provide a platform for communicators of truth in the culture to proclaim that today the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's what you're doing. We get excited about that, and this is it thrills my heart for you to say that, and I just shine all those kind words onto Christ, and of course onto our the listeners out there who support this program. When listeners step up and say, "Hey, I support Dr. Brown, I support the Line of Fire," they are advancing the most powerful message in the universe that the kingdom of God is at hand, and the King can set you free from the law of sin and death, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Doc, we're thrilled. We're thrilled that you are across the Truth Network. When we get a station, the Line of Fire goes on. It's not, we don't even think about it. It just happens.
Yeah, and we've gone now to the first city in America, Charlotte, our home-based city. We're now on 2 hours a day on the Truth Radio Network. So that's a first, and we're absolutely thrilled with that. And I appreciate you opening the door for us to do that. Hey, Stu, you're a radio guy. You've been doing radio pretty much out of the womb, grew up in a radio family, so you know our time constraints. But talk to our listeners and maybe encourage them in terms of why they should be standing with us. You know the work we're doing firsthand.
Yeah, you know, of course, I can the best argument for standing with this program is just turn on network TV. Just read the paper. You know, even the Christians are apologizing all over the place, and they're not standing up for truth. And Dr. Brown, you are speaking the truth in love, and you are standing up for what's right unapologetically. So listeners, you know, it's critical. We're not asking for one person just to write that one check to carry the whole thing, but if everyone listening would just give a little bit, as God's blessed you, of course, give to your local church above and beyond everything. That's where God calls you, yes. But in addition to that, as God puts it on your heart and touches you through this ministry, this program stays on stations like the one you're listening to right now, wherever you are, because of kind, gracious gifts. And some of you need to make a sacrificial gift. And I'm going to tell you where that money's going to go, because I've been to this man's headquarters, and I've had lunch with this man, and I've spent a lot of time with this man, hours, and I've listened to him, and we vet everyone before that we put him on our network, and he's on lots of stations besides ours. Your gift is going to go toward advancing the name of Jesus Christ, making much of him, the Lord Jesus, and bringing people to the knowledge of the Savior. And so I can't think of a better time, and I can't think of a better ministry to sow into, and not to don't put it off, do it now. And you'll watch, God will bless you. You'll see his blessing on you. He'll bless you by the fact that you have given, and when you give, you participate in something divine. Because what does it say in John 3:16? God loved the world so much, he took? No, he gave. And so that's what keeps Christian radio alive, and that's what keeps wonderful, critical programs, prophetic programs that are standing in the gap right now in a dark culture. This light is shining every day at this time because you stand with it, Dr. Brown. So I don't know if I can punctuate that point enough, brother.
Thank you, Stu. 1-800-278-9978. Pick up the phone now if you can. Call in 1-800-278-9978. 1-888-278-9978. Together, we're making a very big difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, Paul wrote this to Timothy. We brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of the world. Many have made the observation you've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. A.W. Tozer said this, as base a thing as money often is, yet it can be transmuted into everlasting treasure. It can be converted into food for the hungry and clothing for the poor. It can keep a missionary actively winning lost men to the light of the gospel and thus transmute itself into heavenly values. Any temporal possession can be turned into everlasting wealth. Whatever is given to Christ is immediately touched with immortality. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast. Day three of a special radiothon we've had as we have encouraged you to stand with us, get on the front lines with us in the ministry work that we're doing. And also we've had it as a major goal to encourage you, to build you up, to strengthen you in your own walk with the Lord, to help you be more effective. And I'm joined in the studio now by dear friends and colleagues, Gary and Cindy Panapinto, people of faith. I've watched them go through hardship and walk in faith. I've watched them have an abundance and have nothing and live just the same because they've walked and lived by faith. And we want to encourage you to do the same. The number to call to stand with us, 1-800-278-9978. Gary, you mentioned sometimes you receive an offering at our home congregation, and you'll mention the verse in Malachi where God encouraged the children of Israel to test him. The only time in Scripture where he said to test him. You say, what does the Hebrew say? It says, test me. Yeah. That's what it says. What does he mean by that, and why do you think he gave us that unique invitation?
Well, my personal experience is at a time when I was out of work and knew that Scripture, had heard it several times, had it in my mind. I'm not sure that it was in my heart. And my wife and I prayed together and just decided that we were going to not fret over finances, but trust God and test him because we had been faithful in our giving. And the result of that was I spent probably 3 or 4 months of a summer actually filling a container that was going to be going to Africa, to Tanzania, with a missionary, and just completely ignored the fact that I was unemployed. I had sent resumes.
And you've been a bank vice president. You've been a hard worker, put in many hours a day, and been highly in demand for years. And then you go through this unique season.
Yep, it was very unique. And I believe it was really a testing of my faith. I'm not sure that God orchestrated the loss of the job. I'm sure he didn't. But in that circumstance, we grew in our faith in a way that we would have never if we didn't come to the place where we took hold of that Scripture to test God. And really, I had the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, as the Word said, and I really didn't fret over it. I enjoyed my kids that summer. It was a summertime. They were off for the summer.
We knew you. We walked through it with
That's
you.
Right. Yeah, it was absolutely awesome. And the experience spending time with a missionary who was sowing the first year of what now is the rest of his life in Africa, still there 30 years later, being a part of that was just unbelievable. And then when mortgage payments were due and the utilities came due, God provided. Every bill was paid. We never missed a beat. There was no issue. And it was all because, you know, God wanted us to recognize early on, we were young in our late 20s, and God just wanted us to understand his laws of reciprocity and that sowing and reaping is real. It is something that he makes available to every believer.
And friends, this is so that we can be about our Father's business.
Yes,
back
is.
With more encouragement. We come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire today. Can I just share my heart honestly with you? Can I be totally candid with you? I mean, you know I am. You know that's what you can expect from me after years. For some of you listening to the broadcast and some who are newer to the broadcast, you know that I'm just going to share my heart and be honest and tell it like it is and no hype. I'm sitting here with friends. Nancy and I have been friends with Gary and Cindy Panapinto now for roughly 30 years. Mentioned in the first hour that Cindy came up to me the first time and witnessed to me. I was wearing a shirt, bright reddish orange shirt that Nancy had brought back from some meetings in Oklahoma. It stood out so much that even I, as a bold witness, was a little self-conscious wearing this thing. Bright red, just said Jesus on it. That's all it said. And Cindy came over and we're talking on the street. We were neighbors, and she wanted to make sure I was really saved. So
That's right.
I think I passed the test then. But for years, I cried out to God because there was so much vision in my heart, so much burden to be a world changer for the gospel. So much in me that wanted to go beyond what I was currently doing. I knew that God wanted me to be on national radio as a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. I knew that we were to be doing far more in Jewish ministry. I knew that we were to be multiplying our ministry schools around the world. I knew that we were supposed to be having a greater impact for the Lord. I'm talking about divine calling. We knew all those things. But I needed a Joseph or a Daniel. I needed someone that had those gifts from God, not just an administrator or someone good with finances, but someone who had those gifts that could have great kingdom vision and faith, a senior leader, and yet have those abilities that a Joseph or Daniel would have to set things in administrative order. And I pray this out loud, God, if you give me a Gary. I didn't say a Gary. I prayed by name for him. God, if you give me Gary, I could change the world. No, not me. But understand, I could get hold of that divine purpose. You know, I get my head clear, get my head in the clouds with the Lord where it needs to be, and not bogged down with other matters that I'm not good at anyway. If I could have people like that with me, I knew what God could call us to do and enable us to do. And I'm so grateful to God that he brought Gary and Cindy with us. Cindy also with gifts like that, and a real Deborah on the front lines and serving faithfully with us in the ministry here in Ask Dr. Brown, as well as our whole FIRE team. Gary, Cindy, just talk to our listeners for a minute about the scope of the vision here and how working together as a team is what enables us to go out and do what we're doing and have the vision that we have.
I think it's important to note that to make a complete team, you really need to be confident in who you are in Christ. And I think the team here at FIRE is just that. There is no one intimidated by anyone else. We all know our strengths. We all know our weaknesses. And together, I couldn't find a finer group of men or women that I would want to work with, knowing that my back is covered no matter what goes on. Even in any instance, I can call on any one of them and trust that whatever I have to talk to them about is going to be kept in confidence, and they're going to take their gift and have it override my weakness.
And can I say too that everyone truly is eternally minded that we work with here, people of integrity, but really not looking to build their ministry or build their empire, but truly just to work together arm in arm and see God's kingdom expanded. And as we have known Mike and Nancy over the years, I can say that we highly respect them in that they just go for the kingdom. They're not lavish. They're not extravagant. They're not. They don't walk in entitlement, as we've seen, unfortunately, many ministers over the years. Mike truly wants to see souls saved and lives changed. So it's been such a privilege to join here with this team and expand the kingdom of God. And we all do it day by day. Lord, we want to see you glorified in everything we do.
Yeah, and that's the heart, and I'm indebted to you guys. Again, we're New Yorkers, so you guys, that's male, female. It's the way we talk, right?
That's right.
I was in Alabama once, and I said, all you guys in the front row, stand up. I was doing a youth meeting, and the men stood, and the ladies didn't stand. I said, no, you guys, that's like y'all. That's all y'all.
That's right.
That's New York terminology. But you know well what I can and can't do. So, I mean, you'll say, Mike, we need you to fill this form out. And it'll sit on my desk for weeks, and it's just like, it's going to bog me down. On the other hand, you and Sarah, Mike, we need a book written in 2 weeks, or we need you to debate this rabbi or get in front of the secular media. It's going to be hostile. It's just tell me when and where with joy. So that's how we function together as a team. And Paul writes this in Romans 12. He talks about the different gifts that are in the body. He says, let the one who exhorts use his gift of exhortation. Let the one who leads lead with diligence. Let the one who shows mercy do it with cheerfulness. And let the one who gives, give with liberality. I was talking to Matt, our producer, and maybe we'll get to chat with Matt later in the week. He's behind the scenes doing things, pushing buttons, and just pouring great material resources into us constantly.
He's a great producer.
Yeah, he is. He is. And the only regret I ever have is that what we have for each show is about enough for 8 years of work, but because he's so overflowing with vision. But I know Matt started listening to messages of mine online, and his heart beat the same way. He had done outreach, skate park outreach, all kinds of creative ways to make an impact on young people out in California. So he moved over from California. Here to Charlotte just to join in with what we were doing, knowing that if he could hold my hands up, that some of this radical vision that was in him could be realized. Because, again, I'm called to be kind of like the way I've talked about it, my head is like the tip of the battering ram. That's what I'm called to do. You know, the controversy doesn't bother me. The attack doesn't bother me. The threats don't bother. You know, I'm called to this. It's there's a grace. I do it with joy. When I got branded last year by the Southern Poverty Law Center, the once respected group that's now really disqualified itself with extreme bigotry that it displays towards believers and other religious groups, they put me on their list of 30 radical leaders, 30 new leaders of the radical right. Mm-hmm. And this is an organization. Mm-hmm. The FBI has looked to them in the past. Militaries looked to them. Local law enforcement's looked to them. Yeah. So they could potentially have clout. And they put you on a list that can be negative. I remember I got so thrilled. That made my night, because I knew it was for righteousness.
Yes.
I knew that mm-hmm. it was for the gospel. And when that happened, I wrote an article, you know, just thanking them.
Yes.
and saying how honored I was. I called them to account. I mean, I did in a later article, I called Mark Pawtucket to account for the nonsense of what he's doing, destructive things. And ultimately, I believe they have blood on their hands because they've called people hate groups. And that's even provoked someone to go and try to shoot and kill, you know, because of their information, or help provoke. The fact is, though, I'm made for these things.
Yes, you are.
And it's a joy. I mean, you know, as we serve together, I don't do it in the cavalier way because I know these are human lives. We care about people. But I'm called to this, the intensive travel, the intensive debate schedule, writing schedule. I mean, you'll see when you get up in the morning, emails I've sent out at 3 or 4 in the morning as I'm going strong and going for it with joy. But I need the help of others. So you're not called to do this. Does that mean you're second rate? No.
Of course not.
Of course not. Everybody has a specific calling. So you can do what you can do.
That's right.
And without you, I've told you this many a time. Nancy and I have told you this many a time. Without the gifts that you bring, there's no way I could be doing this. There's no way we could carry the ministry and all the responsibilities with radio and all the expansion we've had. Now launching a TV show, an apologetics TV show next month. So I want to speak to every one of you who is graced with giving, who has the grace to give, who has a grace to support ministries, who has a grace to give and help works. Many of you just say, hey, I just do that. I don't know. It's a special calling. Well, turn that into something sacred and do it with us. Stand with us. Invest funds in a way that will last forever. And those of you who say, yeah, this is a calling I have. If you have any question about who we are, contact our ministry. Gary or Cindy would love to speak with you. If you're a business person and really want to know how we operate, who we are, everything is open, nothing hidden because of the work we're doing. But I'm asking you to partner with us today. We need your help. We really do. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. We want to send you a special gift package with my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, my book, Time for Holy Fire, and a two-hour DVD debate on Calvinism. We'll even send that to you if you become a monthly supporter, a torchbearer, with a gift of at least $25 or more per month. You can also give by going online, askdrbrown.org.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Dr. Brown, I listened to the CD, Acharit. So very powerful. Words cannot describe the impact. I wish more people could listen to it, believers and non-believers. Blessings on your ministry.
You know, earlier this year, we sent out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of free copies of the Acharit message on CD, perhaps the most important message that the Lord has ever given me when I preached around the world based on one Hebrew word. And we got reports of people just dramatically impacted by that message. So that's just another testimony of lives that were changed. And just want to let you know that as you've supported us and helped us to do that, helped us send out free materials, which is constant. We're constantly sending out materials, sending out Jewish ministry materials, sending out outreach materials, sending out materials to help with missions work around the world. All of you who stand with us, you are literally helping us do that. And before I talk with my friends Gary and Cindy Panapinto again today on the broadcast, I want to play a clip for you. Joey, clip number 8, a friend of mine, colleague Joe Infranco, is one of the leaders in the Alliance Defending Freedom, used to be called the Alliance Defense Fund. They are on the front lines of standing for righteousness across America. The big Supreme Court cases, for example, having to do with Prop 8 and the redefinition of marriage in California, they've been on the front lines of that case. Many of the states that have passed marriage amendments saying that marriage is the union of one man and one woman, they are on the front lines of these cases. And Joe told me that every single day they are getting more calls than they can handle. They've got a couple thousand attorneys now working, putting in hundreds of hours every year gratis, and then their full-time staff there based in Arizona. And they are one of the front-line groups doing this. And Joe felt so strongly about the work that we're doing, he specifically called in to share this message with you.
And Mike, in a busy schedule, I would make time for you anywhere, anyhow, because what you are doing is so key, is so essential. I don't want to overstate the case and maybe make, you know, others feel lesser by saying this. But Mike, I think you are perhaps the leading voice in the country in articulating these issues, particularly on issues like marriage and some of the aspects of the homosexual agenda that we are seeing. What impresses me so much, Mike, is not only that you address these issues, but you do so intelligently, compassionately. There's a sense of Christian propriety. Your communication style is wonderful. But you are addressing issues in a way that prevents the other side from saying, oh, look, another hate monger or something like that. You are able to articulate the issues so well. And that's why, frankly, you know, we think that what you're doing is so important. I think your book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, is perhaps the single most important resource in the country today on marriage. I would just encourage your listeners, and look, we're all tithing at our home churches. We're giving to various causes. I think that the support of what you're doing is so important that people need to give sacrificially. It is that important. There are just not people speaking on the front lines the way that you are. And I want to say on behalf of ADF and all that's happening here, we so appreciate it. What we do could not be accomplished, Mike, without the work that you're doing.
Yeah, what a humbling call that was, but so deeply appreciated. And Gary and Cindy, we've been in this now for 30 years together.
Yes, we have.
Yes.
You guys look the same as ever. I don't know how you've kept the hair from growing great. You don't dye it, Gary?
No, I do not.
Don't dye it. All right. You have that same young look, always full of faith and enthusiasm, even when you're working these 16, 18-hour days in the past. But just speak from your heart. You're part of the team here. You know where the funds go. You know that we are pressed and that we're in a faith mode, a shortfall every month that we're believing for with our radio work and the expansion that we're doing. Just talk from your hearts to our listeners.
Well, if you're listening today and you have never been a part of something bigger than yourself, I would encourage you to take the leap of faith, to make a pledge as a torchbearer for whatever you can do. $25 a month would be wonderful, because many people doing that will meet these needs that we have. And then you get the opportunity, it could be the Lord calling you to do this, but you get the opportunity then to feel the gratification of when a testimony comes in that you are a part of that. You are one of the reasons why this took place.
That's right. And we really want to see Dr. Brown continue with the calling that he has on his life. There's no question he is called to be on radio every day to make a difference in every life. And so we really do encourage you. And can I just encourage anyone who might even be listening for the first time, go to the website, look at everything that Dr. Brown is involved with and the impact he's making around the world, and be encouraged. Let God speak to your heart. Stand with us so that we can and continue to make impact for everybody who's listening and even beyond.
And you know what's special for me, and I say this without hype, I'm saying it to folks that know me very well, is that I always have this sense that it's a joint effort. So when I go overseas, I have the sense of the listening community and our supporters being part of it. That's where we invested in radio equipment so I can broadcast from different parts of the world. So when I was in Hong Kong teaching Chinese pastors and leaders the book of Jeremiah, I get up at 2 in the morning and broadcast live from 3 to 5 in the morning, go back to sleep for a couple hours, and then go teach from 9 to 6 with a lunch break in the middle of the day, joyfully, because I did not want to miss radio broadcasts. And then I felt the sense of partnership. That's why right before I'll go do a debate, I'll post on social media or Twitter and then tell everyone on radio, okay, I'm about to go do this debate. Let's be praying, with the sense of we're doing this together. And then afterwards, come back and report, say, hey, here's how it went. Here are clips. We'll take recording devices into the debate so that the next day we can play clips, say, hey, this is what happened. We're in this together. And just think, friends, as you sow into the work, that not only are you listening and saying, that's neat, and we're glad to see how Dr. Brown was used. Now you're saying, hey, look at what we got to accomplish.
Good. That's right.
Look at the impact that we had. So friends, stand with us. Be as generous as you can. I assure you, the work is worthy of your giving. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or you can go to our website, askdrbrown.org, to donate and stand with us. Again, 1-800-278-9978. And because we just wanted to do something special this Radiothon week, we've put together a special package with a retail value of $70. My book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, my book, Time for Holy Fire, and my two-hour DVD debate with my friend and colleague, Dr. James White, on Calvinism, a $70 value with postage, yours for a gift of any size, also yours if you become a monthly torchbearer today. Again, the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Thanks in advance for standing with us. My bottom line today, nothing is too difficult for the Lord. Don't let your circumstances, your past, your history hinder you from believing God to work the impossible through you.